verse 25, Luke 15, 25. Now his elder brother was in the field, and as he came in and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. The title of the message is The Elder Brother, and the text verse is verse 28, the first phrase, and he was angry. Anger is referred to more than 220 times in the Old Testament, and it is referred to God and man. 5 times in the New Testament. Romans 10:19 is a quote from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 32:21. It says, by a foolish nation I will anger you. In Mark 3:5 it says, Jesus was angry. And he was angry because of man's hardness of heart. Ephesians 4:31 says, put off wrath, anger, and clamor. Colossians 3:8 says, put off anger, wrath, and malice. All these belong together. Angry is mentioned 32 times in the Old Testament, 7 in the New, referred to God and man in the Old, and man and nations in the New. Colossians 3:21 says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger. There may be a reason for this. If we are 12-minute dads, this title comes from into focus because the average dad only spends 12 minutes a day with their children from 2 to 12 years old. And the reason for it is because they're not at home enough. Would Jesus look with anger on the church today, as he did there in the synagogue in Mark 3:5? When you see such titles appear on church signs today as Rock with the Flock or Jam with the Lamb, all this is to draw people. Bill Chapman said this is trying to find the sacred in the secular, or is looking for pure water in the sewer. Why would God be angry today? When so-called Christians spend 7 hours a week more watching television than Bible reading, prayer, and worship. Spend 2 times more dollars on entertainment and amusement than what they give to the church. Spend more time on the internet than they do with their wife and children. This may not be our problem, internet and TV. But there may be many other things that are a problem. What about our time we spent with God? Would God have any reason to be angry with us because we don't spend enough of time with him? Do you need to have a spiritual relationship with God that can be seen today? Too often we think our spiritual relationship might need a little tune-up and we need a complete overhaul. And this may be the reason that today that the church is lacking in energy, spiritual energy, the power that the church needs today to function in a proper way. This is a sad commentary if this is how it is. Examples of God's anger in the Bible is God is angry with the wicked every day. Psalm 7:11. He also is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Psalm 103:8. In the Old Testament, it says different times, and the Lord was angry with his people, Israel, because they worshiped idols in unbelief and were disobedient to his commands. This should give us enough of reason why we should know how to do what pleases God. They also caused the meekest man to make the choice that he did, and did opposite from what God said, and lost his right to Canaan, Moses. If our history that is wrote by God could be read, how would it read? Would it say how often God was angry with us? Would there be any reason for God not to accept us? Reading a few scriptures from Psalm 78 and 86 and 111. 78:38. But he being full of compassion forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he anger away. 86:15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. 111, verse 4. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. These scriptures are saying there is no good reason why God would not accept the penitent. Penitent person that comes to him in faith. Does our temperament affect others in the right way? A man that keeps busy helping the one below him will not have time to envy the man above him. That's a quote. In verse 27 in this chapter, in chapter 15, it says there, thy brother is come safe and sound. It's the place of all spiritual health. When we come before God, we come to a place of safeness and soundness. Now what we need in our spiritual life, it's a place where all of us want to be or should be, if you're not. The brother not being accepted is because the other brother was not practicing 1 Corinthians 13:4. He disowned him. The love that endures that it speaks about, yet love that endures was not there. The other was kind-heartedness, not having bowels of mercy, like it says in Colossians 3:12, or the practice of Isaiah 58:7, where it says, hide not thyself from thine own flesh. This, I think we could apply also to the spiritual sense. It speaks of the physical, probably. Spiritual sense, hide not thyself. Galatians 6:10, it says, do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. We must receive those that are penitent. Jesus said to the Pharisees, the publicans and harlots will go into the kingdom before you. Matthew 21:31. 1 Thessalonians 2:7 is another scripture to apply having compassion toward the penitent. the better than thou attitude must be put off with the old man. No one has anything to boast about. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Realizing that all that the Lord has done and is doing for us. Sometimes we forget all of that, or maybe too much of it. But all the Lord has done and is still doing for us. And to think, let me think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. This is not Christ-like. We do that. For who God receives, he must receive without any reservations. Jesus accepted the thief on the cross, Luke 23:43. Coming to the text verse, in verse 28, and it says, and he was angry. James 1:19, it says, we're to be slow to wrath. Love was shown by the Father. It says he came out to the elder brother to plead with him to accept his other brother. In verse 29, we see other problems that the elder son had. We see some of the same problems that was mentioned in Sunday school class this morning. The eye stood up. And in this verse here, we have five times it's mentioned. I and my. And you go over to Luke chapter 14, the chapter before, you have there again, eight times. It was a problem that Jesus addressed it in successive order. And it's still a problem today with man. It always will be. Then we have one problem that isn't corrected in the sin life. It just adds more and more. And we continually keep on going the wrong direction. Anger and pride are in the same category. Let's heed the warning. The elder son lost at home, lost in the church. Is it possible to be lost in the church? If you haven't fully repented, or we're not completely born again, or not at all, would there be any reason to be that way? The reason it's that way is because we didn't come to the place where the lost son came and he came to himself. That's the reason we would be lost in the church if he never came to ourselves. Coming to ourselves is sensible. It's the most sensible thinking that we can do. Giving ourselves up to Jesus Christ, he'll give us the right direction. The elder brother, being controlled by self, anger, murmuring, jealousy, envy, unforgiveness, lack of love, no spiritual concept. This buildup usually comes from distress, sorrow, hostility, injury, mistreatment, opposition, displeasure, not getting our own way, frustration, certain desires not granted. Irritation, social withdrawal, gloomy, sad, resentment, bitterness, slander, malice, spite, being demanding, noisy, disagreeable. You know, the devil has so many traps to get us. All those are traps that the devil can get anyone into, or some more than one. It is shown by facial expression, telling someone off. Willful outbursts in special speech, tantrums. When I was in CPS, there's a young man there that had a wife, and if she didn't get her own way, she went into a tantrum and rolled around on the floor. When we have no more spiritual concept than a beast, we act beast-like. Psalm 73:22. Temper is a frame of mind. It presents a bad disposition. Losing our temper is going into a rage. Being angry may be uncontrolled temper. A violent anger is action. In action and speech. It may include force. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to control all anger and temper and anything in that category. Rage or bad disposition, whatever. phrases that are sometimes used to express those that express anger. Madder than a hornet. He blew his top, fly off the handle. He lost his temper. But you know, in iron or metal, a right temper is just ideal. It makes it much stronger. And so it is with the spiritual. If our temper is controlled, we're much stronger spiritually. We must avoid circumstances that may cause anger. After I came out of CPS, I worked in the lumber yard. And after the Second World War, lumber wasn't always easy to get anyhow the type that they wanted. So they loaded up the bigger stuff and took it down to the planing mill, the local planing mill there, and that man cut it down to the sides. And this man had a problem with anger. And he got so angry, he cried like a baby, and he got the nickname Crybaby Old House. Anger, uncontrolled. People that are like that may not be easy to get along with. Having a sense of humor is better. Also in CPS, there was a young man there, a little older than I am, not much. And I thought he was always on the top. Always had some humor expression, you know. No, everything was just fine. I was watching him continually. And one day, it was just the opposite. The bottom dropped out. And there was no humor. And there was a different look and all of that. What happened, I don't know. But it didn't last. You can't depend on that to see it through. You got to have more than that. To have it, have to have depth in our life, a spiritual depth to see it through. Accepting circumstances will honor God. Having a frame of mind that overcomes wrong thoughts, irritations, bad moods, and such like. Titus 1:7 says, not soon angry. All seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:21. Grumblers and complainers are never satisfied. It's a long-standing spiritual disease. And it's a choice that we make. Become angry about something said or not done right. Resentment is a close relative. Malice, ill will, wrong feelings toward other enemy, a grudge or a covetous spirit. Expressions made saying, I don't get angry, I just get even. I had a neighbor that had a building on his property that had a number of windows in the front, and some of the neighbor boys thought they were going to have some fun, so they'll knock these windows in. And so he hired these boys to do work for him. And then when the work was finished, he paid him. He said, now I'm taking you out to the hardware store, and you take that money and buy window panes, and then I'll take you back home and you put them in. He was not a Christian. But I worked for him for a while. He taught me some things that were helpful. He had some good points. Let anger be replaced by praise the Lord and thankfulness. Criticizing and anger sometimes go together, pointing out faults, passing judgment, expressing disappointment, and so on. James 5:16 is the better way. It says, confess your faults, sins, wrong, pride, whatever you want to add to it. Paul withstood Peter because he was to blame. How do we accept that kind of admonition? I think Peter accepted it in the right sense. That's the part that we must do. Accept when we are corrected, that we don't become angry. Galatians 2:11, that was found. There were two men that met on a bridge one day. I don't know what kind of vehicles they had, but they couldn't pass each other. And the one man said to the other, if you don't do If you don't back up, I'll do to you what I did to the last man I met here. And the other man said, well, what was that? Well, he said, I backed up. Having enough of love is turning out for an oversized load or on a narrow road or even taking a ditch if necessary. Murmuring for Israel brought destruction. 1 Corinthians 10:10. Disputing, murmuring, and fault finding go together. Philippians 2:14. Joseph's brothers were jealous of him. It led to envy. Hate. Genesis 37, you find this account. Jealousy being as cruel as the grave, Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 6. And sometimes that leads to murder. In my young years, not sure quite what age I was, but these two men were in the same age bracket as I am in that time. And they both wanted the same girl. And the one became so jealous because the other had a date with her. And so I don't know if it's Saturday night or when it was, but he crawled in back of the car when he was there. And when he came home, he started for home, and he killed him and drove the car up in the woods and burned it. And that man, he was a Mennonite, and the other, I think, was a brethren. And he got life sentence for that. He left him out in 20 years. He was free in 20 years. I think he's still living today. I'm not sure, but I think he is. But that's what jealousy does. It's as cruel as a grave. It sent a man to the grave that time. Whether he was prepared, I don't know. King Saul was jealous of David. He said, I'll smite him to the wall. It's 1 Samuel 18, 8-11, we find that account. Self-righteousness says we are good enough. With who do we compare ourselves? Self-justification is hypocritical. What turns us on? What really does turn us on? Well, it should be in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, again, verse 7. That's what should turn us on. Maybe you ought to read that. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. That's what's turning us on. This keeps our feet on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. The elder brother was in need of repentance, in need of God's grace and mercy. The type of a church member that is in need of a new birth. God has made the first move through his love and mercy. Jesus Christ, the remedy for sin, and will pardon everyone that comes with a penitent response. The same message to all. Thou doest well, will thou not be accepted? Here again we have a case of jealousy and ended in murder. Because the love of God was lacking in the heart, and he was not willing to listen to God. Instead, he listened to himself. No one of us is in the superior or inferior class. All can do well. God knows that all of us can do well if you're in our right mind. It's up to us, our choice. The elder brother had no reason to feel rejected, even though he never had any special recognition. If we feel bad not having special attention, we may belong in the adult baby class. He should have rejoiced that his brother was found. The lost being found is worth more than any special occasion that we can be involved in. The highest joy should always be to accept others coming into the kingdom. We have no right to condemn others. Slander is void of humility, or failing to be kind and true and a real witness of Jesus Christ. Not be a criticizer, but a prayer. God is slow to anger, Psalm 145:8. Why not us, if we are God-like? We can rarely weigh the faults of others without putting our thumb on the scales. It's another quote. And Jesus, when Jesus was here in Matthew 6, 25 to 34, he spoke about the material. What are we here this morning for? For the wealth, like Solomon? Tried everything. People in there are doing the same thing. Are we here for wealth, for things, for money? What are we here for? This affects, what we're here for affects our whole inner life. Our whole life will tell what our goal is. Our whole life tells that. People can look at us and they can see what are your goals. They know it. You don't have to tell them. They know if we're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or if we're seeking after things of this life. If you're not able to concentrate on the kingdom of God, the baby ought if you do that. The spiritual being must be above all else. Living for possessions will not illuminate our faith. And worry takes over. When the inner person is not in control, outbursts of anger, business, and the daily grind, that's what takes over. Jesus mentioned that in his preaching here. He said the cares of this life just take control. Injustice to God is putting other things ahead of true worship. Worship is not only a social get-together, but that which builds the spiritual life. Verse 30 in this chapter, wrong accusations has no love, rejoicing or thanksgiving. We have no right to God's kingdom except through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what else we do. All our involvements won't get us there. Romans 6:21 says, what God did, we received from all things we did. What good did we receive from all things we did? Nothing but shame, which leads to death. It's not only obeying the law, but having a spiritual control in what we do. Romans 7, 5, and 6. Behavior may be getting angry. Habits may be good or bad. Manner may be polite, having a certain way of acting or speaking. The elder brother, for his action, was standing in condemnation. Lacking in love, having wrong attitude, not knowing the mysteries of the kingdom like Jesus talks about in Luke 10:23. This morning, we can question ourselves, do we really know the mysteries of the kingdom of God? Has it affected our life to any extent? Or do other things control us? What is keeping us from knowing the mysteries? You have to ask that. If you don't know him, what is keeping us from doing that? Knowing the mysteries of the kingdom. Then we have access by faith. Faith in God. To take the grace of God and rejoice in our hope in Jesus Christ. We have full provision. Romans 5:2. Divine guidance. Psalm 25:8. We are spiritual heirs, Galatians 3:29. Having heavenly joy, Luke 15:7. Not living by bread alone, Deuteronomy 8:5. Have restoration by a merciful God, Micah 7:18-19. Because he retains not his anger forever, what more do we need? The forgiveness through Calvary and God's love cannot be equal. We make it hard for ourselves to have pardon, mercy, and forgiveness when we allow circumstances to control us. Here's an illustration, a test illustration. It was given to a missionary applicant. He was called to be at the examiner's office at 3:00 in the morning. The examiner came at 8:00. And then he asked him a few elementary questions and said, you have passed the test. When the missionary board met, they asked the examiner about this applicant, and he spoke very highly of the applicant. Number one, self-denial. I told him to be at my office at 3 o'clock on a cold winter morning, and he was there without complaint. Number two, he was there on time. Number three, he had patience. I made him wait 5 hours. Number four, he never questioned my delay, even temper. Five, humility. He was not offended at childlike questions asked. What would our response be to that kind of a test? Yeah, listen, it's a lesson for all of us to learn, not only those that are in the elder brother class. Maybe kneel for prayer.